Esther chapter 6. I called it, this chapter's quite amazing, of what I call a long line of, or a long chain of coincidences. I've counted up at least 11, as you'll see as we go through. Yeah, a lot of coincidences. So let's just ask the Lord's help. Bless you, Lord, for your word and the lessons we can learn from it, Lord. I just pray you'll help us to see that, Lord, you are God in charge of every detail, Lord. And we just come to you and thank you. We can't trust you in this world in which we live. Grant us your mercies now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's see the story as it begins to unfold in chapter 6. That night, the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. "What honour and recognition has Mordecai received for this?" the king asked. "Nothing has been done for him," his attendants answered. The king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. His attendants answered, "Haman is standing in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honour?" Now Haman thought to himself, "Who is there the king would rather honour than me?" So he answered the king, "For the man the king delights to honour, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crescent placed on its head. Let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honour, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, 'This is what is done for the man the king delights to honour.'" "Go at once," the king commanded Haman. "Get the robe and the horse, and do just as you suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended." So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honour." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief and told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisers and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin." And while they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried him away to the banquet Esther had prepared. That's an action chapter for you, is it not? So we'll begin looking at all the coincidences as we go along. That night, he starts with, that night the king could not sleep. Of all possible nights to have a non-sleep attack, you know, this is the night. The night that Haman has decided to hatch his plot to murder Mordecai, that night. Could have been any night of the week that he didn't sleep, but this night is the one. Coincidence. Amazing, eh? He had what we call a bad case of insomnia. That night the king could not sleep. Well, what might have kept him awake, do you think? I put a few suggestions there. Anxiety, you know.
Yeah.
It's the fact of history that quite a lot of the leaders, the sort of dictators of the ancient nations, had a bit of a sleep problem. Was it Shakespeare who said, "Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown"? Mm-hmm. You know, there was always something to worry about, someone trying to bump you up or something like that. Anxiety, trouble, conscience, maybe something he'd done wrong. Maybe even the fact that Esther had said, Esther has seen him, hasn't she? Yes. Maybe the fact that he hadn't seen Esther for a month, thinking, I've not been very nice to her. Could have been that, you know. After the feast, a bad case of indigestion. We don't know. Whatever it was, it looks like it's just a coincidence that he was awake that night. But I put here, what or who really kept him awake? God did. For a reason. So, there we are. And just in thinking about sleep, it's a blessing from God, isn't it? Some have more of it than others. I must say I'm really blessed to be able to just go to sleep and stay there, basically. Praise the Lord. It's a real blessing, I acknowledge that, you know. But I was just thinking about how you can sleep like Peter did. And I just thought of him in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, Peter's been arrested, he's going to be executed, they put him in the dungeon, they're surrounded by guards and everything else, and God gets him out by sending an angel. And the angel has to give him a kick to get him to wake up. He's that peaceful. In the middle, you know, night before execution, you know, there he is. Anyway, good old Xerxes wasn't like that. So maybe his conscience was giving him some trouble as well, I don't know. Anyway, he couldn't sleep, that's for sure. So, he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. So, he decides, I can't sleep, I might as well make use of the time. Bring in the records of my reign. So, these guys are keeping guard, by the way. That's why you can call them any time of night. So he gets these guys to read what we call the Chronicles, the record of his reign. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles to be read and brought to him and read. His nighttime sleep aid. I suspect that's what he's trying to do. What time was it when he called? Early on? I don't know, but by the time we get to the end of the passage, it looks like it's fairly early morning. So it could have been all night he was awake, you know. Anyway, he calls in the people to read to him. Well, why didn't he call for musicians? The Persians were good with that, you know. They're musicians to bring in, play the soothing music, nice soothing music, get him a bit sleepy type. Well, he didn't ask for that. No, he asked for them to read his chronicles. And I just wonder whether he thought, that's going to sound fairly boring when they're reading it, you know. So with this nice voice droning on in the background, should get you off nicely, shouldn't it? Maybe that's what he thought, you know. Or maybe it wasn't wanting to do a bit of business, you know, listening to what had happened before. Anyway, I assume there were several volumes, you know. I mean, a king does a lot of things and everybody has to keep writing it down. So they got a long time to read, maybe they're quite a few volumes, but they got to this one. Why they chose that one?
Yeah.
So, and when they're reading this, they got to this particular section, you know. Now, if I'd have been one of his servants reading it, I would have skipped this bit, you know, because it's going to upset him when he hears about someone trying to bump him off, you know. It's worrying you, isn't it, you know. I mean, they tried it before, they might want to try again, you know, that's the thing. Anyway, why didn't they skip this disturbing section? Because God wanted to read it, of course. So the disturbing bit did catch his attention. It was found, recorded there, that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. Now, the thing that stands out here, to my mind, is it had been recorded some time ago, but they'd forgotten all about it. He had anyway, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If that had been you, you'd done some nice deed for some important official, the king or the queen, you know, and then they don't take a blind bit of notice of what you've done, how would you feel? Ignored?
Yeah.
Take the huff? I wonder how Mordecai reacted. Because, well, that's how it is. Never mind, you know. Anyway, that's what happened. It was forgotten for a period of time. Why was it forgotten? Because God's going to bring it to mind at the right time.
Yeah.
Yes? So their forgetting was part of the plan. How it works. And they ask, or the king asks, what honour and recognition has Mordecai received for this? And the king answered, nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. Yeah? So, here we have it, that the king asks, what recognition has been given to Mordecai because of what he did? Now the interesting thing about that is that it was apparently a Persian custom to recognise and appreciate what people have done. Like they sort of had an honours list, I suppose, in a way. So, and he obviously realises that maybe he got overlooked, this one. And they tell him, the servants know, so maybe he's feeling generous, you know, having realised this chap saved him. Now he has a moment of feeling, well, we ought to do something for him. So. And why did the servants remember? They'd been meeting Mordecai on and off, I guess, that's part of it, because he was at the city gate quite frequently, I should think. So here's a question for another coincidence. If something had been done when it had happened, perhaps he would have ignored what was done now. Think about it. if they'd said, well, he had a nice ride through the city and everybody said, what a wonderful guy he is, he says, oh, that's great, leave it to him. Yeah? And that would be it.
Yeah.
But they'd ignored what Mordecai had done, and so the king wants to do something about it. Nothing had been done. Who made sure nothing was done? Haman did. And it's early in the morning, so while it's getting towards dawn time or whatever, somebody turns up on the outer court. And the king said, who is in the court? And it's another early riser. Haman. Haman. Who's there? Again, if he'd come earlier before they read the passage, this might never have happened either.
Yeah.
All timing. All little bits, but all timing. Now Haman had just entered the outer court. Notice that, just entered. He had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. So here comes with his evil plan. He's coming to see first business of the day. Let's get this over with and then I can enjoy the rest of the day. So he wants to get Mordecai hanged. That's his plan. He's coming in thinking he's great because he knows the king will do what he wants, more or less, I suppose. So get this sorted and I can enjoy the rest of the day. So he comes in feeling very good about himself, I suspect. So the king says, the attendants answered, it's Haman standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. Now, he's just the man that he wants. The king wants some advice. What we're going to do for the man who the king delights to honour. So he needs some advice. And what better than one of his nobles to suggest what could be done to be good for him? So, first things first, when Haman entered, the king asked, what should be done for the man the king delights to honour? Now again, God's in charge of how you say it, not just what you say, but how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the king could have said, when Haman entered, what do you want?
Yeah.
And Haman could have got his bit in first. Mm-hmm. Right? He didn't say, what do you want? Because the king's got something on his mind now. What shall I do for the man that I delight to honour? So, before Haman can speak, he wants an answer to his question, and the other thing is, he could have mentioned Mordecai's name, but he didn't.
Yeah.
What shall I do for Mordecai? Instead of, what shall I do for the man I want to honour?
Yeah.
So, why did he leave that out?
Yeah.
Just a little coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, when he hears, what shall the king do for someone he delights to honour? Haman thinks, it's got to be me, yes. Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honour than me? A bit of a self-centred man, is he not there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suspect what went through his mind was, well, forget about Mordecai for the moment. Things are looking good. I'm going to have a bit of a more improvement here, so we'll leave Mordecai off the list for the moment. Yeah? That's maybe what was in his mind. Who could be more worthy than I am? It's got to be me. So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honour, let them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, with one with a royal crest placed on its head. So give him the works, that's what he's saying. He's thinking of himself, of course. Yeah. The things that show the king is honouring somebody are all these things that the king's used, of course. So he's trying to make him look like a number two king, really, that's what it's about. Show off, you know. So, give him the works, that's what he says, and a little bit more besides, and let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. He shouldn't have said that. You know why? Who's going to be the noble prince that the king's going to entrust it to?
Yeah.
Him!
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have said, let somebody else do it, but he didn't. He wasn't thinking about that, he was thinking of himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let him be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honour and lead him on a horse through the cities, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honour. Now, if you'd been asked, what should you do for someone that the king wants to honour, what would you suggest? Would you do what he says? And this is all showing off stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's a 5-minute wonder, you know, a bit of a flash and a bang and that's it, you know? It's all... Yeah, money, good job, some help or something like that, but this is just showing off. Bad, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when you're, let me take you to King Solomon. When he was a young King Solomon, he had a vision from God. God said to him, Solomon, what do you want? And what did Solomon say? He said, I want some wisdom, Lord. I've just become king, and this is a big job. I'm following in big footsteps. What do? I need wisdom. Give me wisdom. And the Lord said to him, since you didn't ask for riches, or the destruction of your enemies, or a vast empire, all those sorts of things, you asked for wealth, I'll give you the lot. Yeah. He had wisdom at that point in time, didn't he? Well, Haman certainly does not. He just wants to be a show-off. That's all it is. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. Great idea, Haman. And he thought, oh no. He can't ask about Mordecai now, can he?
No.
That's completely scuppered his plans there. His schemes were totally frustrated just by what he suggested to the king.
And he's the one
that's got to do it. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? You're the man to do it. Don't neglect anything you've said. Go and do it now. Right, so Mordecai's got to do it. Great. With a fake smile and clenched teeth, I suspect. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He rode Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honour. Well, I suppose Mordecai had to go through with it, and certainly Haman had to go through with it. But just, if they turned up at your house and brought this robe and this horse and things, what would you have thought? What's going on here? You know, Mordecai must have thought, this is weird, really. Anyway, it must have been quite a surprise for him. After all this time and they've forgotten about what he'd done, here they turn up to get him all glorified, yeah? Yeah? So, here's a contrast between Haman. When Haman led Mordecai all around the street, the city square, saying, this is what he's done for the man the king delights to honour. How do you think he felt?
Well, sick.
Sick. Yes. Now, question for you and me is, how do you feel when others get blessed?
Good.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Should be good. Yes. Right, but he's not happy. He's certainly not happy. And afterwards, Mordecai returned to the king's gate. And there you can see, thinking, what on earth was that about? What? Yeah, he returns to the king's gate. So, business as usual. Yeah, he's not putting on airs and graces. We can be grateful, but don't let it go to your head. When you get blessed, be grateful, but don't let it go to your head. That's the thing. Anyway, Mordecai, he goes back to the city gate, but Haman rushes home. With his head covered in grief, he told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. It's all going wrong. Terrible, isn't it? He rushed home, perplexed, annoyed, and fearful. I think he was fearful, because he thinks, you know, if it started going wrong, it's not looking good, is it? You know, he's a superstitious man. You know, when luck goes down the hill, you think there's more of it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an old...
comes in trees. Bad luck comes in trees.
Does it? Bad luck comes in trees. Well, maybe so. Now, I'm just thinking of one of these sort of country western songs. The chap said, I've had a lot of luck in my life, but most of it's been bad. Haman's on the downward slope now, that's for sure, yeah. Yeah, his families and friends hadn't seen what had happened. He hadn't seen, they hadn't seen him trailing Mordecai around the centre of the city, I suspect, because he comes back to tell them. Right? And it's going to be a shock for them too, of course. Oh, after all, they thought things were going great. Now then, how quickly things can change when God decides to act, eh? All turned round in the morning. How about that? There you go. Here's the Jewish connection. I've got a little puzzle for you here. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin. Well, why did they do a Jewish connection? I don't know. Maybe it's just they thought they'd plotted to get rid of the Jews, and here's one coming back good. So maybe they thought, the connection here could be bad. Right. They sense there's a Jewish connection to all this, but they don't know the half yet. Yeah? The Jewish connection is that the Queen's Jewish.
Yeah.
That's a pretty serious Jewish connection as well. Right. And a great comfort for him, aren't they? They say, you've had it, you're on the way down now. They confirm his fears and predict a bad ending to it all. Now, I put there the Jewish connection. This is a theological Jewish connection, which they obviously wouldn't know. is Genesis 12 verse 3. You know what Genesis 12 verse 3 says? It's God's promise to Abraham. Yeah. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Well, he's on the second part of the sentence. Yeah. There you go. And he's got no time to think. While they were talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried him away to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So he has to leave for the banquet. And the interesting thing to my mind is that the gallows that he's had built must be fairly close to his house. That's my guess. So as he leaves, he goes past the, what I would call the useless gallows. He can't use them on Mordecai now, can he? Yeah. He goes past the useless gallows that he built near his house. And I suspect that by the time he gets to the feast, he doesn't have much of an appetite either. Do you think so? Yeah, he's just ruined his morning, so his appetite's probably gone as well. Our day can change, eh? So, quickly but finally, brothers and sisters, here we are. There are so many places in this account where if things had been slightly different, it would have been quite another story. That's true. And here's a nice saying I managed to see on the internet by a man called Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, whoever he was. But he said this: God is in the details. He sure is. God, as well as being the creator of everything, is also attending to the fine details. We need to take that on board, brothers and sisters, because things can go a bit AWOL at times, can't they? You know, you think, I found that yesterday with my sat-nav. You know? I got my sat-nav to get me to the place where I was going, but this new sat-nav, you have to cancel the journey once you've got there. And I didn't cancel it, so I put in the new destination, and it kept taking me back to the old one. And that was annoying. And I said, Lord, help me! I wasn't getting very happy about it. I had an inspiration. I phoned up my daughter where she was with her friend, and the friend told me, just go down the road, and then you're on the road that you want. And so I found the road, and then I drove past, and I saw the sign. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, well, there you are. The details are down to the master, ultimately, yeah. So we can trust him. Lord, help us all, eh? Great. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
Lord,
you.
For taking care of Mordecai in that situation, Lord. Yes, his times were in your hands, Lord. One of your servants, man who loved you, Lord. And you showed your care for him in all the very intricate details of what happened that day and that night. Lord, thank you. Well, while Mordecai was asleep, you were at work. Praise your name, Lord. That he didn't need to get all the panic about what was going on, Lord. You were at work on his behalf. And we say thank you for that, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord, that you know how to frustrate the works of evil. Lord, it's so sad. Haman could have repented and gone to Mordecai and apologized, Lord. But he didn't. He just got that evil burning in his heart, Lord. And so the outcome is a very sad one. But we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, you're a merciful and gracious God, that when we turn to you, you're able and willing to help us. And we bless you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.